Welcome back. We are still looking at the resurrection. And we trust that by the end of this broadcast, we'll be properly established in this necessary and important doctrine of resurrection. So we've seen it clearly that there's a promise of resurrection for us. Resurrection is something that we cannot play with, because if there's no resurrection, the Bible says Christ did not rise and our faith is in vain. We are still in our sins. So if we say there will be no resurrection, that means Christ did not rise. But if you know that there will be a resurrection, if you believe that Christ rose from the dead, then you are confessing that you believe that there will be a resurrection. Because the same principle that rose Christ from the dead is the same principle still operating that will resurrect those in Christ from the dead. We'll understand as we go better. Another thing we should see, why we believe that there's resurrection, is what the Lord Jesus demonstrated in the story of Lazarus. The story of Lazarus is a type for us, because we kept seeing the Lord Jesus, we kept hearing him mentioned in that scripture, in John chapter 11, that he is the resurrection and the life. When he came to the tomb of Lazarus, when Martha and Mary met him, he kept telling them, "I am the resurrection and the life." He was passing a message. He was passing a message. So the story of Lazarus is a type for us to let us know that there will be a resurrection. Let's take a little reading. John chapter 11 from verse 11 to 26. "These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." By this time, corruption has set in. Decay had begun. What happened? "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever that we ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall live again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the..." Can you see it? The true Jews believed in the resurrection. Hear the statement of Martha. "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But you see how Satan planted those of them that call themselves the Sadducees. And what they were fighting is this doctrine of resurrection. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" And so on and so on. If you read the story, when Jesus says he's the resurrection of the life, that means what will make you resurrect unto life is in Christ. If we can connect that to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, what does the Bible say? "If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." What does it mean to quicken? It's to make alive. If that same spirit that Christ had is in you, what the Bible is saying here is he's giving us hope of resurrection. If the same spirit that raised up Christ is in you, that same spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. That means it will also resurrect you. And we saw that Jesus resurrected Lazarus, giving us a type, letting us know that truly, not even a type, giving us a foretaste of the true resurrection. Because he raised up Lazarus, and I believe that Lazarus must have lived and lived old and died again. So it was a foretaste of the resurrection to come, in which we will raise and we will never die again. Hallelujah. So there is resurrection in the Bible. It is not something we joke about. But I understand, if I'm to descend to the level of the Sadducees that were saying that there's no resurrection, if I want to be nice to them, to hear them out, I'll say, "Oh, I know why you are talking like this. You are reasoning like a man. The problem with you people is that, oh, if you say there's resurrection, how will the dead rise again? If after 72 hours you put a body under the ground, it will begin to corrupt. And you say there'll be resurrection, you know, how will they rise again? That's why Jesus said to them, not only that you don't know the scriptures, he says they also don't know the power of God. It is one thing to know the scriptures, it's another thing to know the power of God. So he told them that you are in error, you Sadducees, because you don't know the scripture. If you know the scripture, you will know that the Bible, right from Genesis to Revelation, speaks of resurrection. And then you don't also know the power of God, because you are thinking as a man, if the dead rise, how will they come back again? So he's telling them, you don't know the power of God. Now, let's answer such people. Maybe there are some Sadducees that are listening to us today. Let's answer them. The Lord has given an answer to you in the Bible already from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. We'll take the reading from verse 35. Now, let's read carefully. But some man will say, which man? The Sadducees. How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 36. What is the statement we say in verse 36? It says what? Thou fool. The Holy Spirit is calling such a man a fool. Don't forget that this Bible is inspired by God. Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. If you open your mind, you will see that the Lord is even referring us to nature so that we can understand these basic principles. He said, that which thou sowest is not quickened, is not brought to life, except it die. That means you sow, but before there will be harvest, there must be a death. If you look at the sun rises in the morning, sets in the evening, you don't see the sun again. What has happened? The sun has died. But the next day, what do you see? The sun comes back again. That is resurrection. Let's read on. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Can you see it? Not knowing the power of God. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. How important is this doctrine that a whole chapter in the Bible was dedicated to explain the process of resurrection? Let us know that it's not something that we can joke with. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Can you see it? It is raised in what? In corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made what? A quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. Albeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, see verse 50. Why there must be a resurrection? He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. This, our physical body, is corruption. It is weak. It is dishonorable. This body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So there must be a resurrection. The body will be sown in its natural state, but will resurrect in a supernatural condition. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Let me explain that. We will not all die, but both those that will die and those that are believing, we shall all be changed. In a moment, when will this change come? In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be what? Erased, incorruptible. And those that are living shall be what? And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there will be a changing of our body when we resurrect. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So can we see it? So those that are fighting this doctrine, saying, how will the resurrection take place? With what body will they rise? Will the dead rise? It is well explained. You are not sowing the body that you will resurrect with. You are sowing the natural body. And before you can get the body of resurrection, this natural one must die. It's a principle. It says, before you harvest, what you sow must die. So it's even linking resurrection to the law of sowing and reaping. You sow something, you put it under the ground, but it will rot, it will die. But when that death and that rottenness is taking place, the law of nature is set at work. Life is there. Life is building back. And when you are seeing that body again, you are not seeing that body that you sowed, but you are seeing a body of glory. So that is what the Bible is teaching us. So if this is why you are saying there's no resurrection, maybe even you listening to us, you have been wondering, how will the dead rise again? It is simple. They will not rise with this body. I will not rise with this body that has a clipper bump, yeah, or anything. As Pastor Moses would say, you will not rise with... Oh, let me not use Pastor as an example. Sorry, forgive me. But you know what I mean. You will not rise with any dishonor in your body. It's sown in weakness. The body we shall receive is a body that cannot die. It's a body that cannot be sick. It's a body that cannot be tired. It's a body that cannot even excrete, because there's no waste in you. So let us know this principle. If you can understand the principle of sowing physically, agriculture, sowing and reaping, then you understand how the resurrection is. So there is a resurrection, and it is promised in the Bible. And the Lord has made it clear to us how the resurrection will take place. And if you see something also, Jesus himself promised it in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Now, let's go deeper. Because from this statement of the Lord Jesus, we'll understand deeper this whole idea of resurrection. John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. All, whether good or bad. And what will happen? And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto what? Unto the resurrection of damnation. In fact, let us broaden our horizon a little bit more. Now, we have been limiting this talk of resurrection to only the saints. But the Lord Jesus is even giving us that as a principle, all will resurrect, whether good or bad. All that are in the graves will rise, will come forth, whether good or bad. But then he goes further in verse 29 of this John chapter 5 to differentiate the kind of resurrections. That means there are two categories of resurrection. He says, they that have done good, they will do what? They will come forth unto the resurrection of life. So category one, the resurrection of life. And he says what? And they that have done evil, they that have done evil unto what? The resurrection of damnation. That means the wicked sinners, the sinners that have died and have been buried, it is not over there. They will still come forth. Then I wonder how people will see this statement of the Lord Jesus and be saying there's nothing like hell. I know that some, I don't know if Jehovah's Witnesses still believe in that. There's some people that believe, no, there's nothing like hell. Once you are wicked, you're a sinner. Once you die here on earth, that's all. It's a lie. Even the wicked ones, even the sinners, you die without the Holy Ghost, you will still resurrect. But this time, your own resurrection is not desirable. It's not resurrection unto life. but resurrection what? Unto damnation. So let us note that there are two kinds of resurrection. There's the resurrection unto life, and there's the resurrection unto damnation. Now, let's break it down. Let's take the first one, because that's the one that concerns me. I don't know about you. I don't want to come up in the second category. That means I'm resurrected to be punished. Resurrection unto damnation. No, I want to come up in the category of resurrection unto life. The one that Apostle Paul took his time to explain in 1 Corinthians 15. So when we come back from this brief break, we'll begin to dissect these categories of resurrection. We'll be right back.